The rest of us will be in Jeremiah chapter 1. And when you find that, let's stand one more time in honor of God's word this morning, Jeremiah 1, and we'll begin verse 1. We'll read all the way to verse number 8. God's people said, amen. All right, verse number 1, the Bible says this. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, this is Jeremiah saying this, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I love that phrase right there, because what God is saying is that he knew Jeremiah in the sense that God knew the plan. God knew what he had for Jeremiah. That's important, because sometimes I think we forget that God knows what he's doing. He knows how he wants things to go. And as he puts things in order, he knows why he's doing what he's doing. That's important to remember that. He says, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, this is Jeremiah's response to the call of God. Behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, that thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Father, I pray your blessings on the message. We just need to hear from you. So I pray that you'd guide us in your path, speak to us clearly so that we know your touch is in our heart. And then, Lord, give us courage to take a step of faith and obedience to your voice. We love you. We thank you for salvation, the hope you give us, and eternal life. And for those, perhaps, that need to be saved this morning, they are just either fighting it or confused, or perhaps they know in their heart today is the day of salvation. They need to get to this altar and get it settled before it's too late. Would you give them courage today? Speak to them again. And then for those of us perhaps just need to be encouraged or strengthened in our faith, God, would you do that? Whatever's needed today, guide us in your way. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. We need to, as we're coming into the book of Jeremiah here, we need to remember that Israel had gone through a laundry list of bad kings. They, it seemed, had one bad king after another bad king. Remember back to Ahab and all the awful things Ahab did? If nothing else, Ahab, the Bible says, did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. But then it says this, sort of like as a tag on the end of that. If you've read through the Old Testament, or through the Kings especially, you have heard that phrase a lot. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. That's familiar in the Kings. But tagged on the end of Ahab's little, you know, thing on him, it says these words, above that which were all that were before him. Above all that were before him. So in other words, Ahab did evil, but he was worse than anybody who was before him. And that was his testimony. He married an evil woman, Jezebel. Now you say, well, how can we say that she was evil? Well, the Bible says that she murdered prophets. That is part of her resume. She murdered the men of God. She looked to murder them. She threatened the men of God. And so that was Jezebel, an evil woman. She, uniting with Ahab, who had an evil heart already, led as a couple into the worship and service of Baal. And then with that union together, her and him together worshiping and serving Baal, They led the nation into the worship and service of Baal by building an altar of Baal in the temple of Baal and guiding the nation of Israel down that path. So it was an awful example as a king in the nation of Israel. Then you fast forward to a man named Manasseh, who was the son of Hezekiah. Remember Manasseh? Now I want you to see this. Now I want you to, we're going to be going through Jeremiah, and this is the only time I'm going to have you turn in your Bible somewhere, but I really think it would benefit for us to see this. So keep a ribbon, bulletin, finger, something here, and let's go to 2 Kings, and I want to show you one verse. Chapter 21, 2 Kings 21, and I'll read one verse to you, or maybe a couple of verses, and then we'll come back to Jeremiah 1. 2 Kings chapter 21. I'll wait just a moment until you get there. Are you there? Say amen. Okay, look at verse 6. This is Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, the king of Israel. Verse 6. And he made his son pass through the fire. Now that is almost like anything before, you would think a king of Israel, that he did something that was evil. And then you read that. In the worship and service of false gods, he took his baby and burned him in worship of a false god. And that's the king of Israel. Look what it says next. And observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. And he wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. That's Manasseh. Then he had a son, and his son's name was Ammon. Stay in chapter 21, look at verse 20. This is Ammon, the son of Manasseh. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. So it's as though Manasseh did evil, trained his son who followed in his footsteps to do evil, and that's Ammon. Then we're introduced to a total transformation that happened in the son of Ammon named Josiah. Josiah was different than his grandpa and his dad, Manasseh and Ammon. The Bible says that Josiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So we have in the nation of Israel leading up to this moment, evil examples and precedents leading up to Josiah, who the Bible says did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, just sort of turning against the heritage that had been brought to him up until this moment. Now, you say, well, how is it that the nation of Israel had gotten so far away from God? We learn a little bit about that when Josiah becomes king, because the Bible says that the priest found the Word of God, the Mosaic Law, in the temple. Now, what does that tell us about the Mosaic Law in the temple in the days of Josiah and preceding? They didn't have the Word of God. They didn't have access to the Word of God. It was lost. So it wasn't read, it wasn't studied, it wasn't performed, it wasn't acted upon. They were worshiping other gods. They were doing other things. The judgment of God was falling on the nation of Israel until Josiah, the Bible says, the Word of God was found, brought to the presence of Josiah and read to him. And the Bible says that it repented him. It convicted him and he repented. So now Josiah wants to change the culture, which is an awesome thing. And we want that, right? We want to see that happen anytime there's a wrong culture. We want to see the culture change and turn to God. And so he began to institute temple worship again. He began to institute and break down the altars that were built to Baal and destroy all the idolatry in the nation of Israel. And he succeeded in doing that. Note this, this is very important. He succeeded in doing that outwardly. What do you mean? It means as a king who repented and wanted the nation to be directed back to God, he did everything that he could by breaking down false worship and instituting temple worship back. Which, by the way, this is where Jeremiah came to be as a priest in the lineage of priests. In the time of Josiah, the priesthood is being introduced back. And Jeremiah, one of the first priests that would have been introduced back into the movement towards God during the time of Josiah. So here's what Jeremiah saw. Revival. He saw a renewal, a spiritual renewal. Kind of an exciting time. He was a priest during that time. Now, Josiah succeeded outwardly in getting rid of idolatry, but the problem was is he didn't succeed in removing the idolatry from the hearts of the nation of Israel. He did everything he could to remove the altars, but he couldn't get it out of their heart. Now that's a problem. Why? Because when Josiah died, guess what Israel went right back to? Their old ways. And the worship of false gods. Why would that happen? Because it was all outward. It wasn't in their hearts. That happens to us, doesn't it? You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, here's what I mean. When certain people are in your life, then at times, I'm saying this is sometimes how it is with us, sometimes, that when certain people are around, then we're doing what we're supposed to do. But when they're not around, then we go back to our old ways. That's the idea. Why does that happen? Why do we do that? Why is it that sometimes, like for example, sometimes we're one way at church and we're another way at home? Why is that? Why is it that when some, like it's like with our children, right? When dad's around, everybody acts like they're supposed to. But when dad's gone, party time, right? So why does that happen? Here's what happens. Because you can do things outwardly, but that doesn't mean that it has affected your heart. The problem is that God hasn't gotten a hold of our heart yet. And that was the nation of Israel. And Jeremiah prophesied during the time of Josiah and revival, but he also, the Bible says, would have prophesied when the nation of Israel was going back to idolatry. And that's when we're introduced to him. Look at verse number 1 of Jeremiah. You can go back to Jeremiah. You can lose your place in Kings. We're not going to go back there. So it says in verse number 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priest that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. And then in verse 2 it says, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah. So it was during the time of Josiah all the way through to the next kingdom where Israel began to go back away when Jeremiah prophesied. The Bible says he started off as a priest, but as a lineage, being of the line of Aaron in the priestly line, he would have been a priest. But the Bible says he became a prophet later. What do you mean? Well, he wasn't a prophet because he was born into the line of Aaron. He was a prophet because the word of the Lord came to him. Look at verse number 2. To whom the word of the Lord came. Verse number 3. Let's see. Or maybe it's verse 4. Yeah, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Verse 5, the last phrase. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. That's the difference in Jeremiah as a priest. He was that because of his line. He became a prophet when God delivered his message to him. That's different. That's when God said, I have a message. God said to Jeremiah, I have a message and I want you to deliver it to the people. And so it's God's message that he delivered to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was to give it to God's people. What is that? That's the call of God. That's what a man of God does. Now, we don't deliver revelation from God. Like, we don't have a new message. God doesn't, in dreams, now we have dreams, don't we? Some of us have weird ones. I've been talking to some family, have been weird dreams lately. But that doesn't mean you're hearing from God because you had a dream or some sort of a vision. No, Jeremiah received a message from God, but you and I, that is the men of God, when we deliver the message, we're delivering from the Word of God. So God has brought the message and we deliver the message. Now, that's how it worked with Jeremiah. That's how it works today. But did you know it's amazing that sometimes when God's call comes in our life, we're not always excited about it? That's true, isn't it? I mean, it was true for me. When I was young, I've told this story many times, but 17, walking into Christian school chapel, and God's calling me to be a pastor, and I'm trying to ignore as much as I can that call because I did not want to respond to it. I didn't want to acknowledge or to admit that God was calling me to be a pastor. And so I was fighting with that call. Jeremiah was fighting with the call. Look at verse number, 6. Then said I, this is Jeremiah, oh Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. What is that? That is Jeremiah's way of saying, God, I cannot do this. I can't do this. I'm not qualified to do this. I'm not interested. Perhaps we could maybe read into it, and that's not too much of a stretch, but I'm not really interested in this. I don't feel like I have the ability to do this. And he fought against the call. There's a man in the Bible. God came to him and said he wanted him to deliver a message. And in fact, he didn't just say, like in his heart, I don't want to do this. He got on a ship and he started to go the opposite direction to try to escape the call of God. So this isn't a new concept where God is moving and God is calling and God is working and God's people, even the people God is wanting to move, are fighting with the call of God to do this. Jeremiah, Jonah, and some of us who've experienced it. Now, I'm glad, Brother Josh, when I said, I think you should consider doing a sermon, that you said, ooh, I want to do that. When I didn't want to, you know. And so there's that those times when we don't feel like qualified. And I think that was Jeremiah's issue. He said, I'm a child. What's that mean? It means I'm not qualified for this. I mean, what are children qualified to do? Eat a lot. Amen? Especially if they're boys, right? And I don't know. I hear girls. It's sort of a myth, right? Girls don't eat very much. Right. Anyway, so what are kids qualified to do? Well, the kids can be godly, and God has used... David was a young man, and Daniel was a young man when God used these. So it's not like children are abdicated from being used of God. But generally speaking, when Jeremiah said, I'm a child, what he was saying is, I'm not ready for this. I'm not qualified for this. I don't feel like I can do this. But, you know, it's interesting and amazing that when God leads and guides and directs and points us in a direction, right, that he's not actually asking us if we feel qualified. He never threw it out there as a survey. You know, I'm going to have you fill out this survey, and if you pass and if you feel good about it, then I'm going to call you to do this. No. You know what made Jeremiah qualified? It wasn't his resume. It wasn't how he felt or what he even wanted. It was God. God is the one who made him qualified, and that's it. Look at verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child. In other words, don't bring up whether or not you feel qualified about this or not. That's not the issue. Well, what is it then? For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. So in other words, let's not talk about your qualifications. Let's just talk about what I'm telling you to do. You're going to go where I tell you to go. This is God. This is pretty authoritative too. And I think if anybody has the authority to have authority, it's God, right? That's pretty good. I thought of that just now. Amen. Sometimes I don't remember what I'm supposed to say, and then sometimes that sounded better than I thought. So I don't think I could have wrote that. Okay, so God says, I'm going to make you qualified. Look at verse 7 again. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. So in other words, you're going to go where I tell you to go. And by the way, when you get there, you don't even have to try to figure out what to say. I'm going to tell you what to say. You just go, and when you get there, I'll tell you what to say. So the qualification wasn't Jeremiah's ability. It wasn't how good he felt about it. It was just, God said it, you go, and when you get there, I'm going to tell you what to say. Grant's sermon the other day, 2 weeks ago, right? Fellowship Sunday, youth takeover, message. I'm going to re-preach your sermon. It was so good. Amen. It was Matthew chapter 14, when God, the Lord Jesus Christ, took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and made it feed 5,000 people. Now remember when, and this is what Grant said, remember whenever God told the disciples, when God told them, I want you to feed the multitude, what did they say? We cannot do this. We don't have the ability to feed 5,000 people. In fact, you just need to send them away because we can't do this. Well, Jesus said, okay, what do we have? Well, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Give it to me. So now the resources are in the hands of God. He blessed it, gave it back to the disciples, and then with God's blessings, what were the disciples able to do? What they had no ability to do without God's blessings, feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They, in other words, with God, inability is totally taken away. That is the same with Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, I'm a child. I cannot do this. This is above me, above my pay grade. I do not have the qualifications on my resume. I just simply cannot do this. Sorry, you're going to have to pick somebody else. No, I can't do it. I don't have the ability. Sign me out. God says, no, it's not about that. You're going to go where I tell you to go. You're going to say what I tell you to say. The qualification to do this is me. Because it doesn't matter if you have the ability. With me, God says, you have the ability. Because all you need is me, God says to Jeremiah. That's powerful. That's good. Look at verse number 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. You know, that being not afraid of their faces, that's a telling phrase. I'm going to explain it to you, okay? Because there's two pieces to that we deeply need to understand so that God can break through to our hearts this morning. Okay, there's two parts of that. Number one, be not afraid of their faces implies this very important thing. That when Jeremiah was to go and to declare the message that God told him, there would be opposition. There were going to be people there who said, I do not like this. Don't like it. What do you mean? When God said, be not afraid of their faces, the implication, by the way, the literal meaning of their faces was their angry countenance in opposition to what you're doing. That's what Jeremiah is obeying God. But he's going to face opposition, people who do not want it to happen. So God says, don't be afraid of their faces. In other words, do not allow opposition to stop you. But that tells us that when God moves and God changes and God begins to redirect things and transform things into what He would have it to be, and sometimes it's small, it's always something. Being transformed is a part of growth, right? Being changed into His image. Brother Chad's going to start teaching that in a couple of weeks. That's what our Christian life should be. Sometimes it's small little chips off of our Christian life where God transforms us in little ways. And then other times it's big transformations and big changes that God does. But the point is this, that when God changes things, sometimes there are those who are opposed to it. When God is moving and working, there are times when people are opposed to that. And we see that, be not afraid of their faces. It implies that when God starts stirring and moving and working, that there will be those who are angry about it. They are not happy about it. Anger. So that's one. We need to remember that. The second thing is, be not afraid. What does that mean? When God changes things, what is probably the number one emotion that comes into our heart? Would it not be fear? Fear of the changes themselves. Fear of the movement itself. He already said, I'm a child. I don't know if I can do this. God says, that's okay. Your resume doesn't matter. You're going to do what I say. You're going to say what I tell you to say. This movement is me working in you. But it doesn't mean that there won't be fear there. So the two emotions that we see are clearly seen in verse number 8 are fear, be not afraid, and anger of their faces. In other words, their opposition. Those who say, I'm against this. Okay? All right? So what is it that Jeremiah was going to do? He was going to deliver the message of God. Well, that's what God has called us to do at Valley Avenue Baptist Church, right? To deliver the message of God. You know what's neat? Is that when God puts people in place, He puts them where He wants them to be. So in other words, God says, I want you to go where I want you to go. And then that's where you're going to be. Why? Because that's where God told you to be. Then when you get there, you're going to say what I tell you to say. Okay? It's not even your message. So you're going because I'm sending you. And when you get there, you're going to say what I tell you to say. It's my message. It's there. So but this is cool, Brother Chad. We don't have to figure out, we don't have to sit around and try to put a strategy together to figure out where we're going to be. God, where you want us to be. And then we got to bite our fingernails to figure out how we're going to do this. Brother Davison being here, he would say, what are you doing in the community? And I would say, oh man, is he saying that we should be doing a lot in the community? Or what's he getting at? So I just tell him the truth. In this community, here's what we do. We have church on Sunday and we preach the word. And we do it every Sunday. In this community, you know? He said, amen. That's just what you should say and what you should do. Because, you know, God called us into his ministry. God has called Valley Avenue Baptist Church to be a lighthouse. That's it. And so we don't have to come up with the messages. We just say what God has said. We declare the word. And then God does his work. Amen? He does his work. That's the nature of this. But it doesn't change the two emotions that so regularly and routinely, and especially in big things like what God is doing in our church, the two big emotions, anger and fear. I am not happy about this. It could be your emotion. It could be I'm afraid. It could be both. It could be one bouncing back and forth between the other. It could be an angry fear. God's doing changes at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. He's doing it. We've acknowledged that. We have, with all that I can, just tried to take the steps. Brother Chad and I both have been together. First one I talked to beside my wife was Brother Chad. Because we needed to be on the same page if God is doing this or not. And it was so obvious. It has been so obvious. Listen, whether I like it or not, Brother Randolph, who called me a month ago, I don't know, the days are all jamming together now. I think it was about a month ago when all of this sort of began. Brother Randolph called me, and I had forgotten this, but he testified about this just last week. And he said this. He said, do you remember the first thing that you said on the phone to me? I said, no. My wife would remember, but I don't. He said, when I told you about the church in Arizona, the first thing you said to me was this. If I'm going to tell you emotionally, my answer is no. I'm not interested. I said that. And I want you to know that because that's my heart. It has always been my heart. I've never looked for, well, that would not be true if I said that. For the first 3 years, I definitely wanted God to move us out of here. But for the past 7 years, not even a thought. Gotten 6 phone calls in the past 10 years, not interested. And I was not interested in this. But it was obvious that God was stirring and he was working. And so I'm telling you truthfully that I can relate in some sense to Jeremiah in this sense, that God was starting to move and my heart was saying, no, I do not want this. And there was frustration and fear, and it was all mixed together. That was my heart. And so for you, it might be that you're having some of the similar emotions. Fear meaning this. Fear. What if, you know, like what, okay, Pastor Moore, you're gonna leave. Let's say it this way. God's moving you because that's accurate. And so God's doing this. What if, and now we start to get afraid. What if everybody leaves the church? What if Brother Chad does this, and I don't know if I can handle it? Yeah. What if Brother Chad doesn't do this? And all of these what ifs. See, these are all what ifs. Things that haven't happened, but we're afraid about it. You see? These are emotions that connect to when God is stirring and moving and changing things. And anger. Anger is a legitimate emotion that comes as a result of this too. frustration and anger. And maybe you're one or the other or both. So here's what God said to Jeremiah, and here's what I want to say to you, to us. Now let me have your attention because we're almost done. I can say this with confidence because these aren't my words. So I can say it with confidence. You do not have to be afraid. You do not have to be afraid. And I'm going to say this with confidence too. You do not have to be angry. You don't have to be. Why? Because he's with us. Did you see it? Verse 8. He said, "Be not afraid of their faces." Why? Because I am with you. That's enough. He's with us. God's in control. Here's what he's saying. I'm in control. I know what I'm doing. We're going to get through this. And you don't have to be afraid. And you don't have to be angry. Because I'm in control. And we just need to let him work. We need to let him do what he's going to do. Now I'm going to tell you one story and then we're done. Why Jeremiah? So, I don't remember the dates, but about a month ago, Brother Chad was teaching and God touched my heart. He's ready to be the pastor. And that wasn't just something that I thought of, because I'd actually thought of that for a couple of years, that Brother Chad could be a pastor at any time. But it was different that time. It was like it was my heart was touched. The Chad's right. Because immediately following that was, I think the Lord's moving us. Then, that was Sunday. Then Brother Randolph called me on Wednesday. That same week. That was, I think it was the 17th of November. I think that was the day. You know, we use our Bible reading journals. I hope that you use those. That next day, Thursday, the day I was called on Wednesday by Brother Randolph, and I was stirred up. I was fearful and frustrated about all of this. On Thursday, the next day in my journal was Jeremiah chapter 1. And so I read verse 7 and 8 the next day. You'll go where I send you, and you'll say what I tell you to say. And don't be afraid. And don't get angry about it. And I've been meditating on that for a month. And now I want you to see what God has done. Please don't. Tonight, please, this morning, let me encourage you with faith that you would trust that you don't have to be afraid. That you would trust that you don't have to be angry. And that God's in control. If you're not saved this morning, perhaps God has touched your heart that today's the day of salvation. I would encourage you to get it settled before it's too late. This is going to be over before we know it, isn't it? We're going to be with Him in heaven before we know it. And if you're not saved, that's going to be an awful day. Let's get it settled. Father, this morning we're grateful to be in your house with the blessing of knowing that you're in control, and the emotions that sometimes dominate our life, fear and anger, that you have reminded us this morning again that even in major transitions in life, that we do not have to be controlled by these emotions, because you have promised us that you are with us. And that's enough. Would you help us to have that confidence and courage and faith this morning? And for those, Lord, that need to be saved, would you give them courage to come and get it settled before it's too late? And for those that just needed perhaps to be encouraged this morning, struggling, I'm certain that there's some of that I have. Would you give courage and wisdom and strength again today? Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for allowing us to know that you're going to guide us through all of this one step at a time. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Let's stand together, Brother Joshua.